Yeah, now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to commence the reading at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, reading from verse 9 through to the end of the chapter. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. We know God will bless the reading of his word. Last Sunday morning, as we thought about these texts for troubled times, we were looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, at those opening verses of that chapter, where we noted some heavenly truths for our earthly trials. The believers in Peter's day were living in a hostile world. They were suffering for their faith. They were finding the going tough, and Peter wanted to encourage their hearts, and he wanted them to remain steadfast in their faith and to continue to live for the Lord. But he also knew that because of their circumstances, that would not be an easy thing for them to do. And so Peter sought to encourage their hearts, and he sought to lift them far above the circumstances that they found themselves in. He reminded them and us that the child of God has got a blessed hope. A blessed hope. And in times of trial and difficulty, and in times when we're suffering for our faith or in other ways, it's good to know that we have a living hope in the living Christ of God. Also, the child of God has got a heavenly home. The child of God has got a wonderful inheritance to look forward to. He's on his way home to heaven, come what may, and come what must, nothing can ever change that. And of course, the child of God has got divine help. These were Christians being afflicted, suffering for their faith. How on earth were they ever going to get through those difficult days? Well, Peter reminded them that they were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And those words, the power of God, they're so encouraging for us today. Whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in, we don't go it alone. We don't need to go it alone. We're kept by the power of God, this same omnipotent power that was displayed in creation. This same omnipotent power displayed in the ministry of Moses when God miraculously revealed himself to his people. This is the same omnipotent power that was displayed when God raised the Lord Jesus Christ again from the dead. Beloved, whatever your circumstances and mine today, never forget that we're held in the hand of omnipotence. But we come this morning to another lovely text in Hebrews chapter 4. Listen to what the writer says of our Savior in Hebrews 4 verse 15. He says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The book of Hebrews is a very interesting letter. There's many differences of opinion concerning the writer of the epistle. But as far as the content of the book is concerned, there can be no doubt whatsoever. It was written to a group of Christians who were wondering what was going on around them in the world in which they lived. And not only was their faith wavering because of these circumstances, some of them were at a standstill spiritually, and some of them were in danger of going backwards and going back into the Judaism that they had left behind when they'd come to trust Christ as their Savior. They were neglecting God's word, and as a result of that, some of them were drifting in their faith. And the problem for them and for us is this: if we begin to drift in our faith and we don't take immediate action, if that drifting is not checked, it will lead us to the place of disobedience. You and I know that by now, when we find ourselves in the place of disobedience and away from the Lord, it takes us away from the place of blessing. And not only does it take us away from the place of blessing, but it can also bring the hand of God's chastisement to bear upon us. Now, it's with that kind of background in mind that the writer gives a series of warnings and exhortations to these people, and he wanted them to grasp everything that they had in Christ so that their faith might be strengthened. And that's what I want to do for you and for me today. I want to bring you to our all-sufficient Savior. I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in the midst of all the circumstances that you find yourself in, and for you to realize and for me to realize that whatever it is that we're trying to cope with right now, that we have one who walks with us and who talks with us along life's narrow way. Sometimes you and I look around us as these people did, and we see the very foundations of our society being shaken. Sometimes we look at the problems of life that would seek to overwhelm us, and sometimes, beloved, the burdens are just too heavy for us to bear. It would be easy in those circumstances to lose sight of God. It would be easy in such situations to take your eyes off Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and to lose hope and to lose heart and to feel like throwing in the towel and wondering, is it really all worth it? It's worth it. The writer here reminds us that we have a great high priest who is everything to us that we need today. A great high priest who is everything to us that we need today. Let me remind you of three very simple things. I keep looking at that clock, but it hasn't moved for the last 3 months, so it's not going to move this morning. But listen to these words for a moment or two again. There is His identification with us. His identification with us. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Beloved, we have a man in the glory today who not only represents us before the Father's throne, but He identifies Himself with us in every circumstance of life. He knows us individually. Every man, every woman, every young person, every child in this meeting this morning, He knows us all individually. He knows our names. He knows our needs. He knows our natures. Every single thing about us is known to Him, even if it's not known to others. He knows everything, because there's nothing that goes unnoticed. He knows what we're passing through. But here's the lovely thing, that whatever it is that you and I are facing today, He is right there with us. You and I never have to go it alone. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and risen again from the dead. We know that He has ascended back to heaven, to that place that was rightfully His before the worlds were ever made. He has the highest place that heaven affords today. But the lovely thing is, He's not out of reach. He's not out of reach. How do you and I know today that He cares for us? Well, remember first of all that He has saved us in His capacity as the only mediator between God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with our sin. He has gone all the way to the cross, and there on that cross at Calvary, He has taken our sin upon Himself. He has borne it all away in His own body on that tree. Think about that. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He who was not guilty of any crimes took our guilt upon Himself, and He went to the cross and He died in our stead. If you feel today that you're unloved, if you feel that nobody cares, if your circumstances have taken you in a way that you're overwhelmed this morning, listen, take a look at Calvary, because Christian brother or sister, He loved you so much that He went to the cross and He died for you. That's why Paul says He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Do you think for one moment that the one who went to the cross and who carried your sin with Him there, do you think for one moment, having died for you and risen again that you might be justified in His sight, is going to leave you right now at a time when you need Him the most? If you doubt His love and care today, remember He has saved you. Remember, secondly, He can sustain you. Not only does He save us, but He keeps us. He bears us along in life, and He carries us continually on His heart. You remember that in the Old Testament we're given much information about Israel's high priest, so much about him and his ministry, the tabernacle, the garments, all of those things. But one of the most beautiful pictures given to us is that of the high priest wearing the breastplate of judgment. You remember that on that breastplate of judgment there were 12 stones. And the 12 stones were bearing the names of the children, the 12 tribes of Israel. And as Aaron the high priest went about his daily duties, he wasn't just bearing them up, he was carrying them upon his heart. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for you, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for me. Our great high priest this morning, He's near to us, and we're near to Him, and we're dear to Him, because He carries every single one of us in His heart today. He never leaves us to face the battles alone. He never leaves us in a helpless, hopeless state. He bears us up and He bears us along. And when days are dark and difficult, He's the one who sustains us every step of the way. Your circumstances might be such right now that you wonder about that. You feel unloved at the moment. You feel forsaken and forgotten, as if nobody cares. You're at the end of your tether and you just feel that you can't cope anymore. Can I just remind you today that no matter how you feel, that the Lord Jesus Christ is carrying you near to His heart, and you have nothing to fear. He has saved you. He can sustain you. He sympathizes with you. He's touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. You see, our Savior is in heaven today. He has sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. But distance is no barrier as far as he's concerned. He feels for us in all our weaknesses. That's comforting to know. I can't remember a time in all the years of my ministry, and I'm not old Father Time, and don't you think that. But I can't remember in all the years of being involved in any capacity with the Lord's work where I have seen so many believers who are down spiritually, who are down physically, who are down mentally. Believers today who genuinely are finding the going tough, and they think that nobody cares about them. They think that nobody understands what they're going through. Well, that's not so. Because the Lord Jesus Christ understands us better than anyone else. And he knows exactly what we're coming through right now. When we suffer, he suffers. When we shed those tears, he feels those tears. When we find the going tough, he knows how we feel. He knows the depth of our sufferings, because he has been this way before us. Edward Mote wrote that great hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." He was born to parents in London who owned a pub. But through the witness of his employer, who was a cabinet maker, Mote came to know Christ as Savior. And one of the verses in that great hymn says this: "His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Brother or sister, maybe this morning you feel like your feet's in sinking sand. You maybe feel so down and discouraged today and so disappointed that you feel all alone. That's not true. If this church is worth its salt, it will pray for you. If this pastor is worth his salt, he'll get alongside you. But over and above all of that, the Lord Jesus Christ carries you right near to his heart. He has saved us. He can sustain us. He sympathizes with us. There is his identification with us. But the second thing we need to remember today is this: there is his intercession for us. Have you ever been in the place where life is such that you find it difficult to pray, and that you find it very difficult to read? I think if I asked that question today and said, "Would you put your hand up?" I think some of us would be honest enough to do this, and some might do that, and some might get it up where nobody can see us. But the reality is, we've all been in that place where we've found it difficult to read and to pray. Ever been so burdened and so battered that your quiet time with the Lord was the very last thing in your mind? You say, "Pastor, I've been there." Well, so have I. And so have many of us. Listen to the writer to the Hebrews again in Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Speaking of Christ, he says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Go back again for a moment in your mind to the Old Testament scriptures and to that picture given to us of the high priest in Israel. Remember that one of the distinctive features of his ministry was the fact that he would represent the people before God in prayer. He would intercede on their behalf. He would lay all their concerns before God. And so too does the Lord Jesus Christ for us. The Lord Jesus is an unchanging and unfailing intercessory. His ministry on earth might be finished. His ministry in heaven continues. He ever lives to make intercession for us. You say, but can we really depend on him? Well, take a stroll for a moment. And take a stroll through the Gospels and see the Lord Jesus Christ at prayer, and you'll discover his prayer life was much, much better than yours and mine. He'd rise early in the morning to meet with his Father in prayer. He would often spend nights alone with God in prayer. He would be found in prayer, especially before all the major crises of his ministry. He displays all the marks that we do well to display if we want to be effective for God. And beloved, here's the lovely thing, and what an encouragement this is. His prayers on our behalf still continue in heaven. He prays for us, and that's good to know, because Jesus Christ has walked this way before us. He knows the dangers. He knows the difficulties. He knows the problems. He knows the pitfalls. He knows the temptations. There is no one better to bear us up at a time like this than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You feel this morning that you're guilty coming out to the meeting because you hadn't prayed? Pastor, I'd love to have done it, but I'll tell you the truth. The last 2 weeks have been so discouraging. I can't hardly lift my Bible. I can't pray. Well, he's praying for you. That's not an excuse for us to go home and throw our Bible in the cupboard or the car and not lift them for 2 weeks. I don't mean that. But you see, in those difficult, discouraging times, times that others aren't even aware of in our own lives, times when all we can do is open our mouth to speak and the sobs and the tears just stream down our face, remember, he is bearing us up. Of course, one of the important aspects of his intercession for us is his work as an advocate. He doesn't just pray for us, he represents us before God when we sin. Isn't that what John tells us? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You and I know how easy it is to succumb to temptation. We have to battle continually against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil, and sometimes there are believers that fall into sin. And when they do, remember them and pray for them. For remember to take heed lest you and I also fall. We know that such sin mars our fellowship with God, with others, and it robs us of our spiritual joy. But when we confess our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ represents us in heaven. He stands before a thrice holy God and he intercedes on our behalf. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know something that has deterred many believers in their walk with God when they've fallen into sin? It's when they've sorted out the matter with God and they've known the forgiveness of God, they never seem to be forgiven by the Lord's people. And that's a tragedy, and that's not biblical. That's a tragedy, and that is not biblical. When a believer falls, and he does, And one of these days you and I might. When we confess our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ represents us in heaven, stands before a thrice holy God on our behalf, and he intercedes for us. Remember the high priest in Israel again. Do you remember how he wore a mitre on his forehead as part of his high priestly garments? Written in that mitre were the words, "Holiness unto the Lord." He had to wear it always so that the people might be continually accepted by God. In other words, the people of Israel were only accepted on the grounds of the high priest's representation, and so too it is with Christ. We're saved, but we're only saved sinners. There's no good in us. But thank God that we're accepted in the well-beloved, and Jesus Christ stands today as our representative in heaven, and we are accepted in him. Maybe I need to take a moment today. Maybe I need to say to some brother or sister who's walking afar off from the Lord, maybe I need to remind them, if they've departed and they've gone into sin, that God's waiting and willing to forgive them. That no matter how deep down in sin they might be just now, there's restoration and there's forgiveness and there's the opportunity to start out again. There are too many believers today. They're out of fellowship with the Lord. They're far from him. They've put right the matter of their sin, but they've never come back and be restored to the Lord and to the Lord's people. But brother or sister, if that's where you find yourself today, if God has forgiven you, so can we. And we will. And if God has dealt with that sin of yours, you move on. You move on. Isaac Watts captures this well in a beautiful hymn when he says this: "Jesus, my great high priest, offered his blood and died. My guilty conscience seeks no sacrifice besides. His powerful blood did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne." What a Savior we have today. There is his identification with us. There is his intercession for us. And very quickly there's his invitation to us. For hear how the chapter closes in verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because he identifies with us and understands us, he encourages us to come. To come and to talk with him in prayer. That's a wonderful privilege. Yes, it's an awesome responsibility, but it's a wonderful privilege. It's a privilege that God's people of old knew nothing about. Remember that in the Old Testament, only the high priest had the right to approach God on behalf of the people, and only on the Day of Atonement could he dare enter into the holiest of holies. And yet you and I are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We can come to God at any time and under any circumstances, make all our wants and our wishes known unto him. What a ministry. What an opportunity to come within the veil, to come at any time under any circumstances and lay hold of the throne of grace. We're to come boldly. Let's understand that. It means we approach him with confidence. It doesn't mean we come casually or carnally. It's like an invitation I saw recently inviting folks along to a meeting, and it said, "Do come along as many as possible. We hope that God will turn up." I tell you, folks, when God stops turning up, close the doors and go home, because it'll not be worthwhile meeting. This has nothing to do with approaching God casually or carnally. It's coming with confidence. It's knowing that we're accepted and the well-beloved. It's knowing that we have a man of the glory interceding for us, representing us, our advocate and our great high priest, and it's coming in his name along this blood-sprinkled pathway right into the very presence of God. What a privilege. What a privilege. We're to come boldly, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Had you sat in the prayer meeting this morning before this meeting, you would have heard a list of so many people who need mercy and today who find themselves in need of great grace. Every day there are times of need, and they ought to drive us to the place of prayer. Every day there's the need for grace, and that ought to drive us to the feet of the God of all grace. Yet there are times we're so overwhelmed we find it hard to pray, times when we're down spiritually and we don't see the need to pray. Beloved, if we don't come to Him, we are spiritually impoverished because of it. If we don't come to Him in prayer and we go it alone and depend on our own resources, we're going to fail. But if we come and we cast all our care upon Him, He really can and will sustain us. We sang that lovely hymn this morning of Joseph Scrivens that we all know so well. Losing his fiancée in a boating accident the night before their wedding, he found it hard to cope. His mother found it much harder to cope. And he wrote that lovely hymn for her. And I hope you thought about it as we sang it before God's word today. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Pastor, you saying this morning that He's interested in every detail concerning me. He is. He is. Every detail. It doesn't matter how small or big it might seem in your estimation or mine. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He invites you to come. You're able to come. You're welcome when you come. Oh, beloved, this morning, if you forget everything else I've said, remember this. Whatever your need and whatever mine this morning, He is only a prayer away. There is His identification with us, His intercession for us, His invitation to us. Will you remember that and encourage your heart today, knowing that you'll always have to face the battles amongst the blessings? And will you fix your eyes today in that troubled heart of yours and mine on our all-sufficient Savior? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When your eyes and mine are on Him, these other things fall into place. Rejoice today, we've got a man in the glory, and He's touched, moved with all the feelings of our infirmities. Will we pray together? I think we should. Our Father, as we come quietly to you just now, we know, for your word has reminded us, that our lives are open and bare before you. Our Father, there are those today here in this meeting, and some who will sit under the sound of your word in their homes, and for them today the going's tough. They're battered and bruised, they're empty, they can't pray, they just can't read. They're almost down and out, spiritually speaking. Would you draw near to such? And would you lift them far above their circumstances and remind them that however they feel, Jesus himself will draw near and go with them. We pray, Father, for the grace to trust you more. We pray, Father, that you would, in the midst of our circumstances, reassure us time and time and time again that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So encourage our hearts, encourage our homes, and grant that we might look heavenward today to this all-sufficient Savior and learn to walk with him as he walks with us along life's narrow way. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.